Before we get into the Word of God, I just want to take an opportunity to do a little bit. First, I do appreciate what Barbara said this morning about an example. At a very young age, my grandmother was a prayer warrior. And I don't know her too much because I was young. And she raised us until I was about 6 years old. But the year before she passed away, had a chance to visit with her, and we brought her over from Hong Kong. She lived with my sister, and I would go visit. And I remember one situation, just talking with her. She's about that tall, maybe. Tiny little lady, 4'8", maybe 10. And she showed me something. She just kind of brought it with her. It was this pillow. It was like half her size, you know. And she told me it was a prayer pillow. That's what she got on her knees every single day and prayed for hours for our family, for everything. And I know she's the reason I'm a believer. I know that without doubt. I want you to know as well that we as God's people can pray. You need to pray for our family, that your children and grandchildren can know that the grandpa and grandma were prayer warriors. Not only that, we have issues, a lot of things that we need to bring before the throne of grace. We have, I know in our church, at least 6 people who are battling cancer. They need you to lift their names up before the Almighty God every single day. We have other things and needs of brothers and sisters in the Lord and people that are extensions of our family that we need to bring before the Lord. And there are lots and lots of people in this country, this city that needs to know Jesus Christ. I encourage you to do that. Second thing I want to do is take this opportunity to thank those that have been working on the parsonage. I don't know if you noticed, we've been putting up a roof there, and I'm not going to ask you to stand. There's a bunch of them. They've been working on it. People like, and I'm going to miss some names, and that's okay. Just know that you are there. Leon, Larry Joe, Larry Lee, Paul, Lonnie, Chester, these guys are up there. Hong, Jimmy Ong, I saw them. They were early in the morning just lifting up things, and they're just blessing the church. And there's a number of people that I'm sure were there. Thank you so much. We'll take an opportunity to bless you later on. But you know what? If you know who they are, just say thank you to them. It's really a cool thing they're doing. I'm not able to climb up to the roof anymore. Once upon a time, I was able to, but some of them are still young enough to do so, and they're up there laboring. They all have masks, not because of the virus, okay, but because of the dust that's there. They also told me that if you can, some of you who are able to this afternoon, they need you to help, if you can, to finish up the job. It was a big job. They thought they might finish yesterday. They couldn't. So if you can, go get some of your duds and sneakers, and they need you to help them finish it. The third thing I want to share with you today is the fact that I hope that you guys are not afraid. Do not panic. We know what's the situation. Chinese churches have been devastated as far as numbers because of the fear of the coronavirus. I want you to know that tomorrow I'll be going to HCC. I'll be with the other pastors, the Chinese churches in the community, Fort Bend, Harris County, and so forth. And we'll be, come on, Pastor Dan, this has to be it. How can you be partaker of the Holy Spirit? If the Holy Spirit is in you, how can you not be a born-again believer in Jesus Christ? Absolutely true. But that's not what the word says. The word partaker is not that word. The word partake is genetenthos. It just means a part of. You've been a part of something. It's kind of like you're going to a group meeting. You enter in. You're not a member of that at all. You're just a part of it. That's all it is. That word does not say that the Holy Spirit is in you. It just means you're part of it. You're just a part of the crowd. You're just a part of those that have been experiencing the Holy Spirit. It is a part. That's exactly what that word means. It means share. In fact, that word is used in many other places exactly like that. Going on to 4th. Verse 5. And have tasted the good word of God. Interesting. That word, you know the word of God. The word all the time is the word logos, right? You know that word. The word of God is word. That word is not logos. It's actually the word rhema, which is word. Word of anybody. So in other words, the person that is being described here is a person that is hearing the word of God. Maybe sitting right here, hearing me preach. Maybe in a Sunday school class, hearing that word, constantly hearing it, right? And it is a good word because it's good. Wow, that's good. How do you not enjoy the word of God? It talks about morality. It talks about good things in life. It's positive. It gives you hope. All these things are coming, and people are sitting there saying, wow, that's good. I enjoy it. I love going to hear such and such preach. I love going to this church and that church and that church and that church. I love going to that setting. You know, I love going to that Bible study group. I love hearing. It's the good word of God. Okay? And then, even tasted the powers of the age to come. I don't know if you have ever seen miracles. I've seen miracles. I've experienced miracles. I've been in places where miraculous powers have been experienced. I've seen people literally been healed, stood up, on and on, all these kinds of things. There are people that have experienced that too, you know. They watch it. They've seen it. They've tasted it in a sense because they're there. But that doesn't make him a Christian. None of these things describe a Christian, okay? None of these. It doesn't talk about any of them being born again. It doesn't talk about any of them being sanctified. It doesn't talk about any of them being justified. None of that stuff. It is a description of people who are, you know what? Very churched. You know how many people are going to church today that don't know Jesus Christ? Hope not in this church, but probably. You know how many people have gone to church for years in their lives, their whole life, they don't know Jesus Christ? When I was a young pastor, this would be 33 years ago, second church I was, one of the things I did was I visited a lot of elderly. There was about 25 or 30 elderly people in this church, that there was no pastor, and since we started a new church, you know, one of the church leaders said, you know, would you pastor this group as well? They need a pastor. They were mostly German Italians, and obviously not German Italian. But I'm an old-time pastor, so I visited them. Senior citizens need to be visited, so I visited them. Back then, you know, there's no cell phone, all that kind of stuff. One by one, every week, I visited them. And to my chagrin, and my shock actually, many of them didn't know Jesus Christ. One by one, I was leading them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you should see the transformed lives afterward. These are 75, 80-year-old people. I would bury every one of them, but I led a bunch of them to Jesus Christ. They said to me, Pastor, I've never heard that stuff before. I don't know what it means to be born again. What does that mean? I said, what? You've been here for 50 years in this church. Yeah, I know, but I don't know what it means. And I will lead them to Jesus Christ. They'll pray with me the prayer of faith. And then I will baptize them in different ways. Some of them pouring water because they're too old to go into the tub. Just because you're in church doesn't make you a Christian. And you know what? This is what it's talking about. And it's scary here when I go to verse 6. And it says, and then have fallen away. What does that mean? You say, well, how can they fall away? They're never in. Well, this is what it's talking about. Falling away here means literally leaving and going somewhere else and departing. You know how many people go to church and then leave the church? You know how many people I have met here that used to say, I used to be a CBC member. I used to go to church, and I will follow up with, where do you go now? And they will say this most often. They say, I don't go anywhere now. So many just leave the church. Not just here, many other churches. And then it goes on. This is the warning. This is the scary thing. It is impossible, adinaton, to renew them again to repentance. I said, that's tough for me because Barbara and I always say this, as long as there's life, there's hope. As long as there's life, there's hope. I always say that, you know. As long as you are alive, there's hope. But here, it challenges it a little bit. I'm just telling you what it says, okay? You can read it yourself. It is not my opinion. It says here. What does that mean? It seems like if a person who's been church all their lives or for a long, long time and know all this stuff is real and refuses to turn his life to Jesus Christ, they'll get to a time when that is going to end. And he's going to be like, I have no interest whatsoever. And I want to tell you this, the toughest people to win to Jesus Christ are people who are churched, who have been churched. Much easier to win atheists, much easier to win Muslims, much easier to win people who are Buddhists, much easier. I led many of them to Jesus Christ. You know how hard it is to win someone that has been church all their lives? I've been going to church. I've been a Baptist all my life. How dare you talk to me about that? And this makes sense then. It makes sense. It makes sense. I want to just say to you, if you are one of those person, don't let that happen to you. Don't get to a place where it's impossible for you. You can't hear anymore. You can't see anymore. You can't sense anymore. If you know people in your family, your friends who are like that, make it possible for them now, because there's going to be a time when it is a dinner time, impossible. Wow. Scares me half to death. Let me finish off with being convinced of the difference. In case you are not convinced of the difference, uses an illustration. Verse 7, let me read it to you, both verses. For ground that drinks the rain, which often falls on it and brings forth vegetation useful for those for whose sake it is also tilled, receives a blessing from God. But if it yields thorns and thistles, it is worthless and close to being cursed, and it ends up being burned. Let me tell you, our God will not be mocked. The gospel message is there. Lord Jesus' son was crucified on the cross of Calvary. He is not going to be mocked. People who sit in church day after day, week after week, year after year, all right, the gospel message is coming through, the rain's coming down. Trust me on this one. All right, the blessings of God will come in your life if you know Jesus Christ. You are going to be different kinds of people. You're going to live different kinds of lives. Your hope and your dreams, all those things will be wrapped around Jesus Christ. You will be blessed. But for others who do not do that, it's going to be thorns and thistles, and it's like it's cursed. Your life will be like cursed. This is God. This is what he says. So we need to be convinced of the difference. That's what it's about. And I pray by God's grace that each and every one of you would know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Not these other things, but the maturity of the Word of God. And then I want to pray and ask that you would share that with your family and friends. Make sure they are not in a place of impossibility. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for just giving us this word. They're tough, Lord. I pray that you just burn your words into our soul so that we may indeed live a different life. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.